You're listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. Each week, we present a pub quiz style program with four rounds of varying themes consisting of eight questions each, in addition to a bonus anagram. If you'd like, we have a PDF scoring sheet available on our website, triviatimepodcast.com, which you can use to answer along. Each correct answer will be worth 1 point unless specified otherwise. Similar to a pub quiz experience, we serve up a fun mix of trivia as well as friendly banter. Get together with your trivia team or play solo, at home, or on the go, because it's trivia time. Welcome to episode 323 of Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. I am your host, Kelly Sharon, and I am joined by our quizmaster, Ricky Lime.
Hi, Kelly. How's it going, bud?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I am doing pretty well as well. Been real busy, but hanging in there. I believe when this episode comes out, we're on the other side of Thanksgiving.
Hope it was good for y'all.
Few things to get through before we jump in. The answers for our November visual round are coming up at the end of this episode. That means we have a new visual roundup. This one is a really fun before and after round, so make sure and check it out. A big thank you to Hot Pink Manatee for leaving us a 5-star review. Love that review. Love that name. Also, quite a few new patrons. Thank you so much to Seth, Andrea, Max, Butch Butcher, Vanova, Miles, Lauren, Allie, Whitney, as well as Kyrie. Welcome aboard, friends.
Whoop whoop. Thanks, y'all.
As a reminder, I just have one live quiz coming up for December. I will be at Watch Me Sports in Long Beach at 7 p.m. on December 16th. And then I will go silent until 2026.
Ooh.
And then just one more thing, a big happy birthday to Josh from Corey, as well as from us. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh. All right, it's time to get to our bonus anagram of the week. This will be due at the end of our program after we reveal the answers to round 5, so you have plenty of time to work on it. Our bonus anagram this week is bend over corns. BENDOVERCORNS. And the question that goes with this anagram is, what NFL team did football legends John Elway and Floyd Little play their entire NFL careers for? Moving on to round 1.
We are sipping toddies and talking bodies with this general knowledge round that features answers that all include a body part.
Question number 1. Released in 2006, what is the second installment in the Pirates of the Caribbean film series? Question number 2. Fronted by Wayne Coyne, what influential rock band behind the 1993 hit She Don't Use Jelly teamed up with pop star Miley Cyrus on a 2015 album released under the name Miley Cyrus and Her Dead Pets? Question number 3. What creepy 1999 Stanley Kubrick thriller featured a scene with a masked orgy? This film was his final project before a fatal heart attack. Question number 4. Based on a 2002 novel of the same name, what 2009 supernatural drama film directed by Peter Jackson starred Saoirse Ronan and Mark Wahlberg? Question number 5. What 1985 Tears for Fears single was featured in the 2001 thriller film Donnie Darko and opens with the lyrics, I wanted to be with you alone and talk about the weather? Question number 6. What 1990s cartoon that aired on WB Kids centered on genetically enhanced lab mice who reside in a cage in the Acme Labs research facility? This series was a spinoff of Animaniacs. Question number 7. Used to measure the height of horses, what unit is equivalent to 4 inches? Question number 8. Airing on Fox in the 1990s, what alliteratively titled sitcom starred William Ragsdale as a man with 4 characters acting out his emotions, each represent a different aspect of his personality? We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. Here are the answers for round one, Body Talk. Question number one. The second installment in the Pirates of the Caribbean film series is Dead Man's Chest.
You say Caribbean, I say Caribbean. Tomato, tomato, right?
That's right.
You say Johnny Depp, I say douchebag. Tomato, tomato. Ooh.
Same, same. Question number two. The influential rock band that teamed up with pop star Miley Cyrus on a 2015 album is the Flaming Lips.
They're great. They have some really fantastic albums. I mean, they've been together forever. This was an odd move to team up with Miley. I actually have not heard this album, though, so it could be great, so I won't comment there. But yeah, surprising collab.
Question number three. Stanley Kubrick's final project before a fatal heart attack was Eyes Wide Shut.
You know, it's too bad that was his final movie. That's all I'm going to say.
It was a weird one.
Yeah, it was totally bizarre.
Question number four. The 2009 supernatural drama film directed by Peter Jackson was The Lovely Bones.
So it's interesting because everybody associates Peter Jackson with these massive blockbusters, Lord of the Ring movies, but he actually has quite a few just quiet dramas. There was this one, which was pretty good. It was solid. Also, my favorite is Heavenly Creatures, which is, oh gosh, I think it came out in the 90s.
Yeah, right.
Launched the careers of Kate Winslet and Melanie Lynskey and was excellent.
Yes, that's so good. Question number five. The 1985 Tears for Fears single featured in Donnie Darko is Head Over Heels.
Love this song. Also, if you also love this song, check out the Japanese Breakfast cover of it. We've included it on a Smothered and Covered round before.
That's right. It's so good.
Oh, it's a gorgeous cover. Love it.
Question number six. The 90s cartoon centering on genetically enhanced lab mice is Pinky and the Brain. Question number seven. Used to measure the height of horses, the unit equivalent to 4 inches is a hand.
So weird that they still use this to measure horses.
Bizarre.
When they've got other ways to do that. And the unit of a hand is only used to measure horses. It's not like somebody's like, I'll take a sheet cake that's 2 hands long. Also, because like not everybody's hands are the same length.
Right.
You know, it seems like something that should be retired, question mark. But I also kind of like that it's just this weird thing that stuck around, you know?
Yeah, I would not have gotten this correct. Question number eight. The 90s sitcom starring William Ragsdale as a man with 4 characters acting out his emotions is Herman's Head.
So I remember watching this one in the 90s. I definitely think that it inspired Inside Out because it's kind of the same premise.
Sounds wild, but yeah, it does sound exactly like Inside Out.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving on to round two.
Round number two is our audio spinoff round. For these rounds, Kelly and I spin our Wheel of Wonder, which determines 2 audio-related categories that we present to you all. So Kelly's up first at the wheel. Give it a spin, bud.
All right, looks like first up we have TV Mumbles, which features audio clips from popular television shows. You guess the shows.
Usually we do movie mumbles, so this is a little twist, kind of fun. Okay, so after that we'll be doing some mashups. So for these, you receive clues that reference 2 artists whose names can be combined to get the answer. So an example of some possible answers would be Rebecca Black Sabbath, and that combines Rebecca Black and Black Sabbath, or James Taylor Swift. I think you get it. Let's get into it.
Here's the clip for question number one.
Never mind, my girlfriend's a lesbian. Never mind, my girlfriend's a lesbian.
Here's the clip for question number two.
Dispatch, this is Chief Wiggum, back in pursuit of the rebelling women. Dispatch, this is Chief Wiggum, back in pursuit of the rebelling women.
Here's the clip for question number 3.
Carlton, what the hell are you wearing? Carlton, what the hell are you wearing?
Here's the clip for question number 4.
Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip. You took a bite. And you dipped again. Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip. You took a bite. And you dipped again.
Question number 5. Adam Levine's band just booked a tour that shares a bill with the Australian pop rock band behind the 2018 hit Young Blood. Question number 6. The pop star currently dating former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was spotted canoodling with the lead singer of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction. Question number 7. The jazz legend known for her 1968 hit I'd Rather Go Blind would rather go deaf than listen to a cover of her song by the frontman of hard rock band Metallica. Question number 8. The eccentric artist is following up his 2024 album Chromacopia with a new track that samples the husky-voiced Welsh singer behind the classic hit Total Eclipse of the Heart.
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round 2, our audio spin-off round. Question number 1. The sound clip for number 1 was from the TV show Friends.
Never mind, my girlfriend's a lesbian.
Question number 2. The sound clip for number 2 was from the TV show The Simpsons.
Dispatch, this is Chief Wiggum.
Do you think The Simpsons will just go on forever?
I mean, it seems like.
Do you think Maggie will still be a baby in like 2050?
Yes. You have to just keep going at this point. Question number 3. The sound clip for number 3 was from the TV show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Carlton, what the hell are you wearing?
I was all over this one in the 90s. It's fun.
So fun. So good.
Carlton, hilarious.
Hilarious.
What a tool.
Question number 4. The sound clip for number 4 was from the TV show Seinfeld.
Did you just double dip that chip?
Excuse me?
You double dipped the chip!
Another classic.
Yep.
It didn't stray too far from mainstream for sure for this bunch, but I'll definitely do this TV mumbles again in the future because I had fun with it.
Question number 5. The clue referenced Adam Levine's band and the Australian pop rock band behind the hit Young Blood, and the answer is Maroon 5 Seconds of Summer. Combining Maroon 5 and 5 Seconds of Summer.
Imagine how many mirrors that these guys would require in their dressing rooms total.
Too many.
Right?
Yeah, I don't want to see those writers.
Right, me either.
Question number 6. The clue referenced the pop star currently dating Justin Trudeau and the lead singer of Jane's Addiction, and the answer is Katy Perry Farrell. Combining Katy Perry and Perry Farrell.
How do you feel about this Justin Trudeau, Katy Perry couple? Interesting, right?
Wild.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Interesting, wild. Feels like we're in a different timeline.
For sure.
Question number 7. The clue referenced the jazz legend known for her hit I'd Rather Go Blind and the frontman of Metallica, and the answer is Etta James Hetfield. Combining Etta James and James Hetfield.
Etta James, what a legend.
Mm-hmm.
James Hetfield, whatever.
Right. Oh no, kind of a bizarre matchup here.
Question number 8. The clue referenced the artist with the 2024 album Chromacopia and the Welsh singer behind the hit Total Eclipse of the Heart. And the answer is Bonnie Tyler the Creator. Combining Bonnie Tyler and Tyler the Creator.
Tyler the Creator, he's pretty rad. He's got a hit on the radio right now, something about sugar. It's pretty catchy. But I really enjoyed Chromacopia. My favorite song from that album is Balloons, and it features Doechii. So that pair, ooh, magic.
Yeah, that's a fun pair. Moving on to round 3.
Round number 3 is titled Cringe Corner. Ew, why? This round is all about the things we love to hate and hate to love.
Question number 1. Full of ridiculous temptation items from the lint lizard to the torso toner, what retail publishing company marketed to airline passengers filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2015? Question number 2. The celebrity couple everyone loves to hate, Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt, aka Spidey, were introduced to the world in 2006 on what MTV reality TV series spin-off show? Question number 3. Known for its beautiful beaches, controversial politics, and headline-catching crimes of humanity, list one of the 2 Florida senators currently serving. Question number 4. What Jibbitz accessorized shoes were the subject of a marketing campaign dubbed Ugly Can Be Beautiful? Question number 5. Despite its status as one of the worst films ever made, the 2003 romantic drama film The Room achieved cult film status and was the subject of a book and film titled What? Question number 6. What is the name of the temporary city built annually in the Nevada desert for the Burning Man Festival? Question number 7. List one of the 2 islands that start with the letter M that are mentioned in the cringy but catchy Beach Boys 1988 hit, Kokomo. Question number 8. What is the cringy 6-letter term for a small device that can be connected to and used with a computer, especially to allow access to wireless broadband or the use of protected software?
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round 3, Cringe Corner. Question number 1. The retail publishing company marketed to airline passengers that filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2015 is SkyMall.
I'm so sad that they don't offer SkyMall catalogs on planes anymore because they were a hoot to flip through when you were on a plane.
It was fun to browse.
Big fan here. Where am I going to get a spiral staircase for my dog to get to my bed? You know what I mean?
They had so many of those.
I love it. Yeah. But then there would be weird things like retro record player, but it'd be like $300. And you're like, girl, I can get one at Target for $50.
Right. Do you remember the Big Yeti?
What is the Big Yeti?
It was like an 8-foot Yeti figurine. And I was like, what?
Totally just ripped from the Matterhorn.
Right. Amazing.
I love it.
Question number 2. Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt, aka Spidey, were introduced to the world in 2006 on The Hills.
I think they're like equal parts silicone and flesh and bone by now.
That's right.
Lots of work. Work in progress, those two. Definitely cringy. He's kind of a jerk, right?
Yeah, he's going a little off the rails now. I mean, not that he was like resided too long on the rails, but.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he's like railing against Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass now.
Oh, whatever. Okay, dude.
Right. Question number 3. You needed to list one of the 2 Florida senators currently serving for a point, and they are Ashley Moody and Rick Scott.
You might as well throw Spencer Pratt in that mix, too. A bunch of clowns.
Right. Question number 4. The shoes that were the subject of a marketing campaign dubbed Ugly Can Be Beautiful are Crocs.
How do you feel about Crocs, Cal?
You know, I started embracing them.
Yeah, I'm not mad at them either. I mean, I don't own a pair, but I've been known to go on dog walks in my kids' Crocs, you know?
Yeah, they're really nice for like gardening, running outside with kids. Like, that's really useful.
Yeah, they're silly. They're cute on kids, right? Whatever.
Right, they become like really essential when you have kids in a weird way. I don't know.
Easy on and off. You hose them down. Also, they get really excited about those gibbets.
Right.
Stocking stuffers, you know?
Friends of the show.
Friends of the show, Crocs.
Question number 5. The 2003 cult classic film, The Room, was the subject of a book and film titled The Disaster Artist. Question number 6. The name of the temporary city built annually for the Burning Man Festival is Black Rock City.
There are very few things I'd rather not do more than go to Burning Man.
Right. It sounds terrible. It looks terrible. It looks hot. It looks sandy. I don't want it.
It sounds like hell. I know everybody's just like filthy and totally horned out. I'm like, dudes, in like the worst outfits ever.
Right. It seems like a nightmare.
In a sandstorm.
In a sandstorm, exactly.
You can take cover in the orgy tent.
No, thank you.
No. I'm good. And there's some really great art installations. Like, I wish there was like a soft opening week before Burning Man where just chill folk could come look at art and then like get lost before the burners arrive.
Exactly, exactly.
Before all like the Mad Max thongs arrive.
Totally Mad Max vibes. Question number 7. You needed to list one of the two islands that start with the letter M that are mentioned in the Beach Boys hit Kokomo, and they are Martinique and Montserrat.
That song is so bad. I was really into it when I was like in grade school or whatever, but
so bad.
It is the best-selling Beach Boys single ever, which is funny.
That's crazy.
It really is cringy. It is so catchy. People love it. People hate it, but yeah. Also, fun fact, the island of Kokomo, the namesake island, fictional, doesn't exist.
Right, totally. Question number 8. The cringy six-letter term for a small device that can be connected to and used with a computer is a dongle.
I've told this story before, but I worked on a few of those early Spider-Man films. And in the director's screening room, Sam Raimi banned anybody from saying dongle out loud in his presence.
That's amazing.
And you know, I kind of don't blame him. You know, you hear about things that are not cool, like you can't make eye contact with this person. And you're like, well, that's going to be hard to avoid. But just flexing your power and be like, don't say the word dongle around me is really funny and also reasonable.
Really funny.
Yeah. It's a pretty lousy word.
Moving on to round 4.
Round number 4 goes out to Eduardo, who is celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, Eduardo. This one is for you, from Aiden, as well as us. It is titled Fantasyland. Calm your dunes. We're going to party like it's 1984 with this round all about science fiction novels.
Happy birthday, Eduardo. Question number 1. Project Hail Mary and The Martian are two best-selling novels from a California-based sci-fi author. Question number 2. What decade was George Orwell's classic sci-fi novel 1984 published in? That was not the 1980s. Question number 3. Inspired by Nazi Germany, what infamous 1953 Ray Bradbury novel presents a future American society where books have been outlawed and firemen burn any that are found? Question number 4. What annual literary award is given for the best science fiction or fantasy works of the previous year and presented at WorldCon, World Science Fiction Convention, each year and chosen by its members? Question number 5. The title for Aldous Huxley's novel Brave New World was derived from a line in what Shakespeare tragic comedy play that is delivered by a character named Miranda? Question number 6. what military science fiction novel by Robert A. Heinlein was adapted into a 1997 cult classic action film directed by Paul Verhoeven. Question number 7. How many Jurassic Park novels did sci-fi writer Michael Crichton publish before his death in 2008? Question number 8. Ursula K. Le Guin is best known for what series of 6 sci-fi novels set on a group of fictional islands that were published between 1968 and 2001.
We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers.
Here are the answers for round 4, Fantasyland. Question number 1. Project Hail Mary and The Martian are 2 best-selling novels from Andy Weir.
I haven't read Project Hail Mary, but it's being made into a movie, which doesn't surprise me because both the book and the movie The Martian were great. So
good for him. Question number 2. The decade George Orwell's 1984 was published in is the 1940s.
A little bit tricky because it's actually 1949, so almost the 1950s. But yeah, it's one of those things where it really could have been written at any point in time and still kind of holds up.
It does. Question number 3. The 1953 Ray Bradbury novel that presents a future American society where books have been outlawed is Fahrenheit 451.
It should just be called Florida 451.
Ouch.
I have a friend named Evan who enjoys sci-fi novels, and she has 2 black cats named Bradbury and Orwell, which is pretty great.
Oh, super cute.
I know, really cute. Fancy guys, fancy names.
Right. Question number 4. The annual literary award given for the best sci-fi or fantasy work that is presented at Worldcon is the Hugo Award.
So that's sort of the biggest award in this genre. Another notable one is a Nebula Award, apparently. Those are like the 2 most sought after for science fiction.
Question number 5. The title for Aldous Huxley's novel Brave New World was derived from Shakespeare's The Tempest. Question number 6. The military sci-fi novel by Robert A. Heinlein that was adapted into a 1997 cult classic action film is Starship Troopers.
It was considered a flop and it was poorly reviewed at the time, and now it's like a cult classic.
Yep. Question number 7. The amount of Jurassic Park novels Michael Crichton published before his death in 2008 is 2.
So those 2 were Jurassic Park and The Lost World. So there have been more Jurassic Park films than there was books, but yeah.
Right. Question number 8. Ursula K. Le Guin is best known for her series Earthsea.
Or the Earthsea Cycle. Yeah, she's a total queen of this genre as well. You know, I didn't include a lot of modern sci-fi books because now there's authors like Suzanne Collins and Sarah J. Maas that are doing really well as well. But back in the day, Ursula K. Le Guin was one of the only ladies that was in the mix here.
Yeah, broke through. Moving on to round 5.
So as always, round number 5 is our connection round. It is a series of 7 seemingly unrelated questions and answers that are somehow connected. So the answer to number 8 will be the connection.
Question number 1. What animal represents the zodiac sign Aries? Question number 2. Entering public domain in 2024, what character is at the center of the 1928 animated short film Steamboat Willie? Question number 3. Representing Louisiana, what position is Republican politician Mike Johnson currently serving? Question number 4. Known for their long necks and powerful limbs, tails, and claws, what type of lizards include Komodo dragons and parentes, or goannas? Question number 5. Empire State of Mind and My Boo are both hit duets that have featured what New York City-based musician and classically trained pianist? Question number 6. With Iberian Peninsula origins and the Duero Valley, what sweet red fortified wine is often served with dessert? Question number 7. One of the most recognizable pieces of surrealist art, what 1931 Salvador Dali painting is colloquially referred to as the melting clocks?
It's connection time. And question number 8 is the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7. We're going to give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. And just as a reminder, the bonus anagram will be due at the end of this round.
Here are the answers for round 5, our connection round. Question number 1. The animal that represents the zodiac sign Aries is a ram.
This is an easy one if you remotely know anything about astrology.
That's right. The horns are very prominent. Question number 2. The character at the center of the 1928 animated short film Steamboat Willie is Mickey Mouse.
It's cute. He's just like swinging his hips side to side and whistling. So cute.
So cute. Question number 3. The position Mike Johnson is currently serving is House Speaker.
Or Speaker of the House. Hey, Mike Johnson, shut up.
Stop speaking.
Yeah.
Take that. Question number 4. The type of lizards that include Komodo dragons are monitor lizards.
Dude, those Komodo dragons can be over 200 pounds and they move really quick.
Kind of freaky.
They're straight up dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I think they're venomous.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I don't like it. Also, I went to this like animal rescue sanctuary and there was a monitor lizard. I'm not sure if it was a Komodo dragon, but it was giant. And apparently their poops, their waste, if you will, is like the foulest smelling out of any animal. So it was funny because on the tour, they said that. And then like, I swear, like 2 minutes later, the bomb that this lizard dropped could clear out an arena. It was insane.
Oh, dang. Were you outside?
No, we were not.
Ew.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Unfortunate.
Monitor lizards, not a friend of the show.
Question number 5. Empire State of Mind and My Boo are both hit duets that feature Alicia Keys.
Love her.
Very talented. Question number 6. The sweet red fortified wine often served with dessert is port. Question number 7.
Whoa, Kelly, what was that?
Sorry, I was just deep in an eBay bidding war over some SkyMall merch.
Let me guess, you're picking up a collectible dongle or some monitor lizard holiday sweaters?
You already know.
I know you too well. Well, good luck, but that can wait.
Huh, then might it actually be a triple tater?
I think it is. You got a few minutes to put off your retail therapy for now, Kelly. This means that if you correctly answer this question, you'll receive 3 points instead of one.
The 1931 Salvador Dali painting, colloquially referred to as the melting clocks, is The Persistence of Memory.
So everybody knows this painting, and then remembering that title is a little tricky.
Right. Question number 8. The answer to question number 8 is the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7. And we had answers like
ram,
Mickey Mouse,
House Speaker,
monitor lizards,
Alicia Keys,
port,
and the persistence of memory.
And all of those answers include a part of a computer.
Sure do. What if I also put dongle in this round? Well, I kind of did work it into our triple tater commentary.
Right. You made it fit.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Hope Sam Raimi isn't listening.
I think we're safe.
Before we get back to that bonus anagram, it's time to reveal the answers for our November visual round. Our November visual round was called Holy Sheet and featured famous people concealed by sheets. You had to list the name of the people or characters hidden by the little ghost. Image number one was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Image number two was Dave Grohl. Image number three was Joseph Quinn, or the Human Torch. Image number four was Betty White, or Rose Nyland. Image number five was Jordan Chiles. Image number six was Chili, or Rosanda Thomas. Image number seven was Roger Moore. And image number eight was Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
You know, I think there's another name that would be acceptable for that Joseph Quinn Human Torch. There's something like Storm.
Oh, yeah.
If you know, you know. And I don't.
So we'll take it.
Yeah. 1 point. I felt like it was a crime covering up my girl Betty White.
I know. Kind of sad.
As well as Jordan Chiles. These are some queens right here. Whereas Dwight D. Eisenhower, I wanted to double sheet him.
Ghosted.
This is for the lavender scare. Poosh.
Returning to that bonus anagram of the week, our bonus anagram this week was bend over corns.
That sounds gross.
Spicy. I don't know what's going on here.
How'd you get those corns, friend? Bending over? What?
I don't love it.
Not great.
Not great. The question that went with this anagram was, what NFL team did football legends John Elway and Floyd Little play their entire NFL careers for? And the answer is Denver Broncos. Bend over corn scrambles up to be Denver Broncos.
Kelly's mad at the Broncos because they beat the Chiefs last weekend.
I am mad.
I think she's mad that I even brought it up.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. I thought we were friends. Right. Broncos are kicking buns this year, man.
I know.
It's been a real shakeup this season across the board.
I'm not happy about it.
I know you're not. Sorry.
It's a real bummer. Well, that does it for us.
Yeah, sorry to end on a sour note.
Womp womp.
Thanks so much for everybody that continues to listen to our show every week. It always means a lot to us. We hope that everybody is having a good holiday season, and we will be back on the mic next Tuesday with some more trivia.
Later, taters.
Thanks for listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. We hope you enjoyed playing along. If you did, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes to help boost our show ratings and get the word out. We might even give you a shout out on a future episode. Tune in every week for new episodes. We'd love to hear from you if you have any feedback. Our email is triviatimepodcast@gmail.com and our website is triviatimepodcast.com. On our website, you can find a printable PDF scoring sheet, which you can use to play along with every episode. We also have links to past episodes, monthly bonus visual rounds, exciting announcements, and more.
This week's background and answer break music was Waterloo by Nick Panic.
This has been a Pick and Shovel production recorded in Long Beach, California and Lawrence, Kansas. Special thanks to our friends, families, and all of our trivia buddies. This episode has been hosted and written by Kelly Sharon and Ricky Lime, edited by Ricky Lime, and features an intro song by Ricky Lime. Until next time,
later taters.